Last Sunday, I preached a very personal word to our church, Mount Zion Church of the Holy Spirit. I really sensed the Lord to just bring it in a very personal way to our church body. And I spoke out of 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, just what it is that, in simplicity, what it is that pleases the Lord's heart regarding His church. We looked at verse 3. Where Paul said, "It's fit for me to give thanks for you because that you're exceeding in your faith and in your love for one another." And that's what truly pleases the Lord's heart, is when we're truly growing in our faith, walk with the Lord, and when we're growing in our love for one another, because that's the evidence that we as a church family, as a church body, are sincere about our relationship with God. You can't have complacency in your heart and indifference in your heart and truly be growing in your faith and in your love for one another. So when we as a church body are doing this, it really is the evidence that we're sincere about our relationship with God. And just for the sake of a name, I entitled that message, "A Word for Our Church." And this morning, I actually want to bring part two to that message. I believe the Lord really wants to speak in a very personal way to our hearts as a church family, Mount Zion Church of the Holy Spirit. So I want you to go with me to the book of 3 John, chapter 1. There's only one chapter in 3 John, book of 3 John, and we're going to read the first four verses together. 3 John, chapter 1, says, "The elder unto the well-beloved Gaius, whom I love in the truth. Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospereth. For I rejoice greatly when the brethren came and testified of the truth that is in thee, even as thou walkest in truth. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth." Let's read verse 4 again. Verse 4 says, "I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth." In this letter, 3 John, John is writing to a man named Gaius. And though we don't know anything at all about Gaius, we do know, according to John's salutation, he really loved his brother in the Lord. He had a deep love in his heart in the Lord for this man. And John is a man now who's been walking with God many, many years. And he's filled with the Spirit of God. He's filled with the life of God. And so when he writes and speaks, he's speaking from the heart of God. And by the Holy Spirit, John writes these words. He says, "Nothing brings me greater joy than to hear that my children are walking in truth." And ultimately, what I feel from the Lord to say is simply this. This is the Lord speaking. The Lord is saying, there's nothing in my heart regarding my church and my people. There's nothing that brings me greater joy than when my people are walking in truth, when my people are lovers of truth. The Lord is saying, there's nothing that brings my heart greater joy than when my people cherish truth and they embrace it to their hearts and they allow me to work truth deep in their inward parts. What really brings my heart joy is when my people are lovers of truth. Now, brothers and sisters, there's so many directions I can take this. There's so many directions that we can go in. But there's only one direction that the Lord's really put upon my heart. So this is the way I feel from the Lord to bring it this morning. When we go into the Old Testament and we look at the history of the children of Israel, we see from generation to generation, the children of Israel experienced some very dark times. There were some very dark times, a spiritual darkness from generation to generation that tried to cloak God's people. And studying it out, I begin to ask myself this question. What is this spiritual darkness from that tried so hard to cloak the people of God? And studying this out, this is the answer that I received from the Lord. This spiritual darkness was simply the enemy's attempt to extinguish the light of truth. This spiritual darkness that plagued the children of Israel from generation to generation was simply a spiritual darkness, was simply an enemy that was trying to consume the light of truth, that was trying to snuff out the light of truth. When you go through the books, we'll see that very plainly. We're going to look at some things here in a moment and see that very plainly. But that's what the spiritual darkness is. Brothers and sisters, listen, the Lord can only walk in covenant relationship with His people according to truth. God can only deliver His people and liberate His people from their enemies upon the grounds of truth. God can only bless His people upon the grounds of truth. So in reality, the spiritual darkness has always been the enemy attempting to extinguish the light of truth. And what has God's remedy always been? God's remedy has always been to raise up one man or to raise up one woman that walked with God and loved truth. And having this testimony of truth in them, the truth always prevailed against the darkness. And we're going to see that. For time's sake, I'm not going to have you turn there in your Bibles with me. But there's so many examples that we can give, so there's only five that I want to look at this morning. I want to see this. And as I see this, I believe you're going to begin to see it. You probably already know it, but you're just going to see it in a fresh way this morning. So let's just start with the days of Moses. If we remember, God raised up the nation of Israel from the descendants of Abraham. God raised them up. And of course, their purpose upon the earth was simply to be a testimony to the nations and to be a light to the Gentiles. And we know that they went into bondage for 400 years in Egypt. They were there in bondage. And then the Lord, through the life of a man named Moses, brought the children of Israel out of Egypt. And He brought them to Mount Sinai to meet with them. And when Moses goes up upon Mount Sinai to get the word of the Lord, to get the commandments of God, we see that the people, being very idle, they were a very idle people. They became very impatient, and they began to make demands upon Aaron. They said, "Moses, we don't know what happened to him. So up, make us gods that will go before us and lead us into the land of milk and honey." So Aaron, bowing to the fear, bowing to the timidity, he had the people break off their gold, and he fashioned this golden calf. And the people began to dance around this calf. And Moses says, "These be your gods, O Israel, that brought you out of Egypt." And that word God is Jehovah. So as we have said many times before, what Aaron is doing is he's equating this Egyptian calf with the one true God. Now, brothers and sisters, here's my point. What is happening here? What's happening here? This is what's happening. They are turning the truth of God into a lie. They are beginning to mar the very image of God. Why? Because their hearts are full of Egypt. They're Egypt right down to the core. And that is what's manifesting out of their heart. And so they're attempting to turn the truth of God into a lie and mar the very image of God. But what was God's remedy? God's remedy was one man that He had set apart to Himself for 40 years in a wilderness. And for 40 years He shaped and He fashioned Moses. And Moses came out of that knowing God and walking with God. And Moses came down from the mountain and he reproved the children of Israel. And ultimately what happened is there was a generation that went into the promised land. There was a generation that went on to continue to fulfill the will of God. Let's look at Samuel's day. The Bible says in Samuel's day that there was a very corrupt priesthood. They were very corrupt. They were very full of sin. The Bible says they knew not the Lord, neither did they care about the Lord or the things of the Lord. They were full of sin. And the Bible says that during their priesthood, the lamp of God went out in the temple. And we know what that lamp represents. That lamp represents the very presence of God with His people. It represents the very life of God with His people. So when the lamp of God went out, what that represents is that God's people were about to be consumed by absolute spiritual darkness. They were about to be devoured by absolute spiritual darkness. But what was God's remedy? God's remedy was one man that loved God with all of his heart and that held the standard of truth up in his life. The Bible says that through Samuel, the light of God's word came to all Israel again through this man named Samuel. The Bible says in 1 Samuel, "And the Lord appeared again in Shiloh, for the Lord revealed Himself to Samuel in Shiloh by the word of the Lord. And the word of Samuel came to all Israel." So again, the word of truth began to shine upon Israel through this man named Samuel, who loved God and who would not compromise the word of truth and the standard of truth in his life. And of course, we learn later through much patience and much prayer Samuel brought revival to his generation. Let's look at Elijah's day. In Elijah's day, there was a king named Ahab, and he married a very evil woman named Jezebel. And the Bible says in 1 Kings 18 that this woman Jezebel slayed all the prophets of the Lord. She killed the prophets of the Lord. Brothers and sisters, who were the prophets of the Lord? The prophets of the Lord were the voice of truth. They were the standard of truth in her day. So what Jezebel was trying to do, she was trying to extinguish the light of truth in the nation of Israel. What was God's remedy? God's remedy was one man that was strong in the Lord, Elijah the Tishbite. Strong in the Lord, and he loved the Lord, and he was a lover of truth. The Bible says that when he raised the widow woman's son from the dead, she looked at him, and she says, "Now I know that the word of the Lord in your mouth is truth." Let's look at Jeremiah's day. Jeremiah's day, the priesthood, and not only the priesthood, but the monarchy, the government, the kings were absolutely full of lies and deception and corruption. They were absolutely corrupt. The Bible says in Jeremiah 6:13, "For from the least of them, even unto the greatest of them, everyone is given to covetousness, and from the prophet, even unto the priest, everyone dealeth falsely." They're full of lies. They're full of deception. They're full of corruption. Extinguishing truth in the land. But what was God's remedy? God's remedy was one man that loved God and loved the word of God. And that man was Jeremiah. Jeremiah says in 15:16, he says, "Thy words were found, and I did eat them, and they were the rejoicing of my heart." This man loved God, and he loved the truth of the word of God. And because of it, through this man's life, God was able to perform his counsel upon Israel. Through this man, he prophesied, "I'm going to tear down, I'm going to pull down, and I'm going to destroy. But not only am I going to tear down, pull down, and destroy, but I'm going to plant and I'm going to build." And through this man's prophecy, the word of truth came to Israel, and God fulfilled it because he had a lover of truth. The truth always prevailing over the darkness. Let's look at Daniel's day. Daniel, we know Daniel and the people of God in the first Babylonian exile went into Babylon. And so many of the children of Israel were corrupted by that lascivious culture, that very immoral, sensual culture. They were corrupted. But Daniel was a man in chapter 1 that resolved in his heart, "I am not going to bow to the culture. I'm not going to bow to that lascivious, immoral culture. I'm not going to bow to it. I'm going to stand for God. I resolve in my heart not to defile myself." And of course, we know because that Daniel resolved in his heart to do that, and he was tested, God raised up through Daniel's life a remarkable testimony in the kingdom of Babylon. In times of crisis, because Daniel wouldn't bow to Babylon, in times of crisis, you find kings bowing to Daniel and bowing to Daniel's God. Because this one man resolved in his heart that he was going to love God and hold to the standard of truth in his life. Let me give you one more. Let's look at Jesus in his day. In Jesus' day, who were the seemingly the spiritual authorities of that day? It was the high priest, it was the Sanhedrin, it was the Pharisees and the Sadducees that made up the Sanhedrin. They were the spiritual authority of the day. But Jesus looked at those religious leaders and he told them, "Your religious system is absolutely demon-possessed." Jesus said in John 8:44, he said to those religious people, he said, "You are of your father the devil, and his works you will do." And then in the same verse, Jesus said, "For he was a liar, and there was no truth in him." What is this darkness that covered the land of Israel when Jesus walked the earth? It was the enemy attempting to extinguish the light of truth. And then Jesus in his ministry walked around saying things like this, "I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. No man comes to the Father but by me." Jesus said things like, "If you continue in my word, then you are my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." In that time where darkness was trying to extinguish the light of truth, Jesus came full of grace and truth. He is the truth, and he began to shine that light of truth. Brothers and sisters, what am I saying? I'm saying the spiritual darkness has always been the enemy's attempt to extinguish the light of truth. Now, what does that have to do with us today? Everything. Brothers and sisters, if we are truly walking soberly before God, We are truly walking watchful before God. Then we have eyes to see the darkness. We have eyes to see the lies. We have eyes to see the deception. We have eyes to see the depravity that is so consuming our world and consuming our nation. We have eyes to see the reprobate, the many reprobate men who are holding high places of office. And the reason why they're reprobate is because they cannot no longer discern what is good from what is absolutely evil and wicked. They are absolutely reprobate. Now we all know that. So in prayer, I had to go to the Lord and ask the Lord, Lord, what are you trying to tell me? Lord, what are you trying to tell me? How does this involve me? In my generation, how does this involve us as a church in our generation? Lord, what are you saying? And I felt the Lord speak to my heart. I really sensed him speak to my heart. And he said, Tim, as long as I have my church in this world, I will always have a testimony in this earth. I will always have a prevailing testimony in this earth. But Tim, that testimony is only going to shine through a people that are lovers of truth. That testimony is only going to shine through a church that's a lover of truth. Now, if you're like me, when the Lord spoke that to my heart, I contemplated it in my mind. And I said, yes, Lord, I see that. I really see that. God, I understand it. It's so clear to me that it's only going to be through people that are lovers of truth. But brothers and sisters, I have to give it to you like the Lord gave it to me. In much love and gentleness, but the Lord spoke it very strong to my heart. And he said, Tim, I'm not going to make it easy for you because time is too short and time is too severe for me to make it easy for you. Tim, this is what you have to understand. If you have any complacency in your life, sincerely, you are not a lover of truth. Tim, if you have any indifference in your heart towards God, the things of God, towards His Word, towards prayer, towards being committed to your church, Tim, in all sincerity, you're not a lover of truth. Tim, if you are flirting with sin in secret places, you are not a lover of truth. Tim, if you have a shallow prayer life because you would rather be doing other things or other things are more important to you, you are not a lover of truth. Tim, I'm not saying that my people have to be absolutely perfect to be lovers of truth, but what I am saying is this. The relationship with God in all truth has to be the most important thing in their life, and that reflects in their walk with God. So I had to search my heart. I had to search my heart. We have to search our heart. God, truly, are you first place in my life? Not just in my words, in truth. And God is the evidence in my life. Brothers and sisters, there's so many people that are sitting in churches and they say this. They say, I love you, God, with all my heart, but their profession is an absolute lie. It's a lie. Because in their life is complacency. In their life is indifference. In their life is worldliness. In their life, they're tolerating sin. Didn't say struggling with sin. Now, we all struggle with temptations and things. But there's sin in their life and they're indifferent to it. And the Lord says, it's an empty profession. No, who are lovers of truth? Lovers of truth are those who can say in all truth, my relationship with God is the most important thing in my life. And there is an evidence of that in my life. It's a lover of truth. Brothers and sisters, the Lord has been really speaking to my heart. And I just want to share with you what I know the Lord's speaking. I know I'm speaking by the Spirit of God now. I know that. Brothers and sisters, there is coming such a persecution upon the Lord's people that love God and love truth. That's going to be absolutely horrendous. We haven't even begun to see what's coming. The Lord has spoken in my heart and He has showed me that the laws of the land are so going to turn. I don't know how rapidly, but they're so going to turn that people that love God and love truth are going to look absolutely evil and wicked in the world's eyes. There's going to be persecution, great persecution. And even now, we're beginning to see churches beginning to pick and choose what they're going to stand up for and what they're going to stand for. And I know in my heart, when the persecution really gets hard, we're going to see so many churches, we're going to see them begin to conform to wicked policies by wicked governments because they can't stand the pressure. And so many people that are sitting in church that have been complacent in church all their life, what you're going to see is you're going to see them conform. You're going to see them bend and break and conform because they cannot withstand the pressure. In all truth, is our relationship with God the most important thing in our life? Is the evidence shining through your life? But on the other hand, those that are going to stand in the fire are going to be such a remarkable testimony of Christ. The Lord put it in my heart, in mind, the three Hebrew children. Listen, they would not bow to Nebuchadnezzar's idol, his image. They, in other words, they would not bow to the idol of self, because that was an image of Nebuchadnezzar. It was an image of all that he is. It was an idol of self, this idol of self. And today in our world, in our nation, the biggest idol is self. And these three Hebrew children said, I will not bow to the idol of self. And they went into the fire. And in the fire, all their bonds burned off. And there was such a revelation of Christ. And the Lord has just put it in my heart that when my people stand in the fire because they refuse to bow, they refuse to compromise truth because they're lovers of truth, what's going to happen is the people is going to see an incredible freedom that's in their heart, an incredible freedom that's in their life. And there's going to be such a revelation of Christ. And many people are going to turn and be transformed by the power of God, by the power of truth. Brothers and sisters, I don't know, speaking about revival, if our nation will ever turn as a whole back to the Lord and we become a godly nation again. I don't know if everybody in government is going to repent and everybody into education is going to repent and truly one more time we're going to become in all truth a nation under God. I don't know if that will ever happen. But I do know this, as long as there are lovers of truth and lovers of God on this earth, individual lives like my life and your life will be touched, will be changed, will be transformed. But it's going to be through a people who are lovers of truth that can say in all sincerity and in truth, my relationship with God is the most important thing in my heart. So I had to ask the Lord, okay, Lord, what does this have to do with me now? What does this have to do with us as a church now? And the Lord put three things in my heart. He said, first of all, Tim, I'm going to give it to us, Mount Zion Church of the Holy Spirit. First of all, do not tolerate any complacency in your life. None. In all truth, you need to be able to say, my relationship with God is the most important thing in my heart and my life, and the evidence is in my walk with God. Have zero tolerance in your life for complacency. God, that's not always easy. My grace is there for you. You can guard your heart. You can search your heart. You can know in your heart when your heart is beginning to grow cold or beginning to stray. Zero tolerance. And the Lord said, secondly, Tim, you need to consume your life. We need to engross our life in the Word of God. We need to be people that love the Word of God and are in the Word of God. We need to hear what God said to Joshua, the book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night. In other words, the Word of God has to be your very life, has to be our very life. And I'm going to give it to you like the Lord gave it to me. This is what the Lord spoke to me. He said, Tim, do not tolerate one day of not seeking the Lord. Don't tolerate it. Tim, Mount Zion Church of the Holy Spirit, you need to understand. I need to understand that the time we spend with God is the very most important thing in our lives. And the Lord said, Tim, do not tolerate one day missing time with me. Because if you start missing days, missing 2 days, 3 days, then it's easy to become tolerant and it's easy to start making excuses why I can't spend time with God today. Not one day. Don't tolerate it in your life. Don't tolerate it in your life. The most important thing in your life is the time that you spend with me. God, that doesn't sound like it's going to be easy. My grace is there. My grace is there. Tim, if you need to get up earlier, or if you need to sacrifice things during the day to have that time with me, then do it. And thirdly, the Lord said you need to embrace the trials and the fires that I allow in your life. it doesn't bring me any pleasure to watch my people suffer, to watch them go through hardships, to watch them go through difficulties. But it's very needful. It's in the fires where I refine your faith. And it's in the fires where I really, truly write truth in the inward parts. You need to embrace them to your heart. I believe with all my heart, one of the biggest prophetic signs that Jesus is so close to coming is all the trials and the fires His people are finding themselves in. Because Jesus said, when I come back, will I find faith on the earth? When He comes back, what is He looking for? Faith. And Peter and James both say it. Think it not strange, these fiery trials that try you. Your faith, which is much more precious than gold to the Lord, is being refined in you. Basically, that's what they're saying. Tim, you need to embrace the trials. Church, we need to embrace the trials. We need to embrace the fires. But that's not easy. No, it's not easy. But my grace is with you. My grace is with you. The tenderness of my presence and my strength is with you. And ultimately, what's going to happen is you're going to learn even more what it means to walk in the grace of God, deeper in the grace of God. Brothers and sisters, in the days we're living in and the days that are coming, as long as there's a church in this world, God will have a testimony that prevails over darkness. But that testimony is only going to shine through a people that are lovers of truth. In other words, they can say in all sincerity, there is no complacency in my life. The most important thing to my heart is my relationship with God. Not in word, in reality, in my heart. That is the people that are going to shine and are going to be strong in truth. Moses was stronger in God than the Egypt that was inside of God's people. Elijah was stronger in God than all the lies and deception that was bound up in the heart of Jezebel. Jeremiah was stronger in God than all the falsehood that was bound up in the heart of the priest. And that is why they stood. They were strong in truth. And that strength only comes to a people that are 100% sold out and given to God. In these last days, I want to be an anchor. I don't want to need an anchor except for the Lord and the body of Christ that He's given me. In other words, I don't want to live in complacency and then all of a sudden find myself needing to latch on. I want to be that pillar of truth that Paul talked about in Timothy that will stand in the evil day. The only truth that will stand in the hearts of God's people are those that are wholly given to the Lord. And God is doing something in their life.